Thanks for listening to this podcast from Exchange Church Belfast. We really hope that you find it encouraging and uplifting. And if you like what you're listening to, why don't you visit us online at exchangechurchbelfast.com for more information.
Guest with us this morning. We're on a series called Connect, A Better Way to Pray. Now, let me make it very clear. What we're talking about through this series is not the only way to pray. It's not if you don't pray this way, then somehow God will close his ears and you will not be heard. But however, in my life, what I have found is this. There have been times in my life, in fact, most of it up until a moment about 5 years ago, when my Christian life was essentially a lot of guilt, a lot of condemnation in the whole area of prayer. But I understood that it was critical. I understood that prayer, because everybody, there's thousands of books on prayer. Jesus taught on prayer. But the way it worked in my Christian life was, despite the fact that I could pretend to be holy in church, I could put on a good act, whenever it came to me praying to God, there was something that didn't quite work. I never actually got into a flow with prayer. And I always felt kind of, maybe this is just me, but who's ever felt guilty about not praying enough? Yeah. Thank you. Help me out here. What about a sense of obligation? Oh, flip, I really need to do this. Anybody? I see that hand, okay? So we all understand what we're about. And then for most of us, there's a sense of whenever you pray, it's a little bit like Russian roulette. You know, roll the dice. We're going to send up a couple of prayers here, bombard the gates of heaven and all that kind of stuff. And maybe, just maybe, if God's in good form that day with me, or if I'm not sinful that day, or if God's so much inclined, he may just answer what I've thrown up there. But there's no real guarantee on getting God to move despite the fact that we pray. That was my experience. And to be honest, about 5 years ago, I had a moment with God where that changed for me. And it started me on a process. I was listening to some teaching. I was talking with some friends. And God changed me in this area. And what happened for me was that my life changed whenever I started to flow in the area of prayer. Now, I know whenever I say prayer, most of you go, oh, for goodness sake. Well, some of you do. Like, oh no, I'm going to feel guilty. I know I need to pray. I just don't do it enough. Oh God, what am I going to do? But we're talking about this subject over these next few weeks because actually it's critically important. Whenever you come to pray, you see, we can sit here this morning and put on a good face. We can put on a good show and have everybody think that we've got it worked out. You know, people tend to do that in church. I'm not saying that's you, but it's quite possible that you may have done that at some stage in your life. Okay? Oh Lord. But actually, at the moments when you start to talk to God on your own, it's like a massive spotlight comes into your heart. And it shows you what you really believe about God and who he is. Because at the moment where there's nobody else looking, at the moment where it's you and God connecting, what comes out of your mouth and what is in your heart actually shows what's really there, what you really believe about God. And your prayer life manifests actually what goes on the inside. And that's why it's so important that we learn that when we come to pray, it's not about formula. I said in the first week about this, the most overriding thing that Jesus talked about all the time was, where is your heart at? You see, you can have all the right words, all the right phrases, whatever those happen to be, and your heart can be stone cold. And Jesus talked, before he talked about anything else, about church, where's your heart? Where is your heart? Because when you approach me, the first thing God says is, I look at your heart. I don't really care about your words. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, you can keep on talking at me if you want, but I don't hear you anymore because of it. That's a kind of a Belfast paraphrase, okay? But that's pretty much what he was talking about. If you get the first week's talk, you'll understand that. And Jesus is a mediator. Last week, Jill talked about that. And essentially what that means is this, is that whenever you come to pray, what quite a lot of people do is approach prayer and they go, right, I need to get into my closet. I need to lock myself away and I'm going to bombard the gates of heaven. And because I'm praying, that means God's going to move. No, it doesn't. That's rubbish. That's what we've been told through a lot of bad teaching. But let me tell you this, your faith will not move God. God is moved by love and grace. And if God has not provided something for you in grace, your faith will not make a button of difference. Yeah, that's pretty silent. That's normally the way people receive that, okay? You are not a mediator. Jesus is the only mediator, the Word of God says. But what we find is when we approach prayers, God, and there's a place for petition, and I'm going to come on to that this next week and the week after. It's right to ask God for things, but there's a way of doing it. But if we think that if we can stand, like it's almost like, Jesus, you've done your work, but let's not talk about that right now, because I'm going to come to you, God, and I'm going to say, God, you need to move and you need to do this, and somehow God moves by grace. not because we stand and we plead with him. But how much of our prayer life do we approach in terms of, I'm going to keep doing this? No, Jesus is the mediator. Go back and listen to Jill's talk. It's really critical. So here's where we come to today. I love this John G. Lake quote. It's something that God spoke to me 5 years ago. And he said, Andrew, please stop saying prayers. I came to, I heard God. And he said, will you please stop saying prayers? But don't stop praying. But will you please stop saying prayers? John G. Lake put it this way. There's a huge difference between saying prayers and praying. And folks, over these next weeks and in this series, I want us to learn what it means to pray. What it means to connect and commune with God, not what it means to have a formula, a 7-step plan to seeing the gates of heaven open. Oh, forget that. That's not where we're at here. It's about actually taking the words of Jesus and saying, what did you mean whenever you said pray? What did you mean whenever you talked about how not to pray? What did you mean, Lord? Because if that's what Jesus was talking about, let's do that and not some of the religious nonsense that we've heard about. Is that okay? Or is that too strong? A little bit strong? Too strong? I don't really care. I'm going for it anyway. So here you go. So this morning, what I want to understand is this. Perspective is really important. Your perspective on something is key. A number of years ago, when I was still living at home, my dad was doing some work in the kitchen. And basically what he had done is he had taken the whole side out of the kitchen, okay? So it was open into the garden. And there was lots of building work going on. And one thing about my mother is she hates rats and mice, okay? Absolutely detest them. And what happened was, this was a Saturday lunchtime, and my mum was cooking, and she opened up the grill. Okay, I'm going to demonstrate. Counter, grill here. Opened up the grill to put it on and was preparing food. She didn't know as she was preparing the food that two big brown rats, so I'm not doing the fingers, so two big brown rats jumped into the grill. Okay? My mum flips up the grill thing. So the... Imagine now, chatting away, we're all having happy families, dad's working like a champion, Bob the Builder. And what happens is, the rats are slowly toasting, okay? So we're kind of doing what we do. At this point, my mum goes to put the cheese and toast, or whatever it was, under the grill. She turns to the grill, drops the thing down, and two slightly toasted but very irate brown rats jump out of the grill and hit her here, okay? Now, the sound that came out from my mouth, like there were dogs barking all over Northern Ireland, you know what I mean? And car alarms going off and all with a scream that came out of her. And because the two rats hit her here, ran over her shoulders, okay, and went out. At this point, me being the big butch son that I am, I screamed louder than what she did. I was like, ah, I hate snakes, rats, and mice. I actually, yes, thanks for that. That was a detail I wasn't going to give, but I actually did knock my mother out of the way to get out of the kitchen because... The point is this. It was a rat. It was this size. Well, no, sorry. It was that size, wasn't it? It was this size. But I thought, how did the rat feel, actually? You know, you put me in a grill and toast me, and you don't expect me to jump out at you. Perspective is really important. And the truth of it is this. Later on that night, my dad and I, there's a point to this story, so bear with me. We were in the kitchen trying to find the two rats that were running around. And at that point, I was sitting with a broomstick, okay? What I was going to do with a broomstick, I hadn't worked out, like brush it to death or whatever, but Big Vern was standing there with his boots, and it was a really funny moment. I was sitting on the washing machine, which we'd pulled out, and a brown rat poked its head out, and I was going, it's there. And Vern, who had seen the other rat, was going, no, it's there. All right. So the long and short of the story is the rat jumped out. I freaked out. My dad smacked me, wanted to get me out of the way, and he dealt with the two rats. The point is this. Whenever I think about that logically, I'm much bigger than a rat, but what was wrong was my perspective was all wrong. What was a rat going to do to me? Now, somebody don't say bite you and give you rabies. Let's not go that way. But to be honest, Big Vern sorted it out. When the rat came near him, he put his boot on it, on its head, gave it a kick, and it was done. He had a different perspective to what I had. When I saw the rat, I had blind panic. I literally had fear that gripped my soul. Vernon, however, had a totally different perspective. And today we need to have a different perspective on prayer because some of us have got it all wrong. Our perspective is wrong. You see, whenever we approach God in prayer, we often come, and prayer is essentially used to try and manipulate or control God. Now, that's strong language, but essentially what happens is we approach God believing that he can do anything. God, it's possible for you. You're all powerful and you can do anything you want, but we don't actually believe that he's already done it. And so what that happens is when we come to pray, we come with an attitude that says, God, it's really clear that you're powerful, and please will you do. We try to control God. We try to get him to move because we're standing before him praying. And we don't have an attitude that Jesus had on the cross in John 19:30 when he said, it's done. God's work is finished. It's very evident when we look at how we deal with salvation, how we deal with healing, that what happens is this. We approach God knowing that he's paid for it all, but we still try to get stuff out of him. The key, though, for us is this. It's about receiving and appropriating what God has already done. So whenever we come to pray, if we're coming with the attitude of God, will you please, God, and we're already asking him about something that he said he's done, then we need to have a better way to pray. That's why many of us pray for years and years and years and see nothing happen. See, absolutely nothing happened. You see, isn't there a kind of a movement in church today about God, it's all about the future. God, what are you going to do? Will you move? Will you move? Will you move? Do you know what I believe God's saying to us today? It's have a look back and see what I've already done for you. And start to live out of what I have done. Because the work of Christ is perfect and it's complete. There's a massive difference in the mindset of saying, God, I need you to do. When you come to pray and you go, God, I need you to do. And a mindset that says, God, thank you that you have already moved and you have already done. It's a huge mindset. But I want to encourage you, if you've been approaching God like this and saying, God, will you please heal this person? Stop right there. And start to say, God, thank you that on the cross you provided healing. If you've been saying, God, please save this person. Stop and say, God, thank you that salvation has already been paid for, that atonement has been paid for. We need a different perspective. We need a different perspective, not just on what we're doing, but on what Jesus has done. It's always, you know, let's get out of this. God is a God of the future. There is stuff that God has in our future, and it's exciting. But I believe whenever we chase that and we don't have a foundation in what Jesus has done, then it actually leads to quite a screwed up prayer life, to be that blunt about it. Because we're begging God for what he says he's already done. And quite a lot of the time that builds in us this kind of sense that God doesn't really seem that inclined to do what we want him to do or what we need him to do. We have this feeling that if we bombard the gates of heaven, that at some point there's going to be a tipping, isn't there? Like if we get like 20 people to pray, if we get 30 people to pray, then somehow God, who's sitting up there stroking his beard, will go, okay, is there enough in the prayerometer yet? You know, he turns and have they done enough yet? Are they fervent enough? Well, okay then, I'll heal or I'll move. That's not a kind and loving thing to do. Whenever you see God, whenever you see what he has done, whenever you start to get a grip of what the work of the cross was, man, we don't need to look forward all the time. We stop and we go, Jesus, what was your work like? What did you accomplish? What did you do? And as we start to understand that and live out of it, then it changes the way we pray. It changes us from begging God to thanking God, and then things start to change. That's what happened in my life. I'm teeing this up for my points this morning, but I want to tell you as well, you're not heard because of your many words. I remember being in a meeting once, right, in the whole thing of healing, and they were praying for people, and I'm not proud of this, well, I am slightly. So this is what happened. They were having people up to the front to get prayed for, and what they'd said is, listen, we're going to pray, and God showed us that if we'll just lay hands, right, on the place where you're sick, you're going to get healed. And so loads of people were coming forward, and I was thinking, this is incredible. But what was happening was, I was standing in line, and each person, because I had a hurt my ankle playing rugby, and each person, they started to pray, and they said, God, and they went through every story in the Bible, okay, that every time somebody got healed, every story, they prayed it over, and then they spoke to this ankle, and I was like, there's going to be 10 people here. We're going to be all night. So about 45 minutes later, they got to me and they said, we're going to lay hands where you're sick. Where is it, brother? And I said, I've got piles. And the guy just looked at me and went, I went, just kidding, it's my ankle. And I said, but do me a favor, right? I won't lay hands. Oh, Lord. Do you know, you just imagine it. The point is this. I said to him, listen, please don't, you don't need to keep talking to God like that. Don't tell him every story in the Bible just to remind him so he has to do. Jesus said that the length of time that you spend praying has become a badge of honor. It's easy to make people feel guilty about not praying enough. But I want to tell you this, that's just Old Testament thinking. It borrows from a time whenever there had to be prayers continually offered for the people. But look at Jesus, it's only two times is it recorded that he prayed all night. God doesn't teach anywhere that longer prayer is better prayer. And actually, Jesus said the opposite. He said, I won't hear you anymore because you keep talking at me. Matthew 6. You don't need to use words and phrases and keep on banging on just so that God gets the point. Now, why am I saying this to you? We're transfixed by the length of time that we spend in prayer. I think, number one, because it soothes our own conscience, doesn't it? Well, God, look, I'm a good little soldier. I spent an hour this morning in the closet, you know, praying and seeking God. So, God, you're going to look more favorably on me, aren't you? There's something about our conscience. Well, I'm not such a bad Christian now because I've spent like 4 hours every morning. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But if we're trying to impress God or get him to move, essentially your prayer life's about you. It's about your words, what you're doing in some vain attempt to get God to move. And what actually that shows is that you've moved from understanding the grace and the love of God and how he moves from that into nothing more than legalism and religion, where it's about you and what you're going to do. And there's a much better way than that. A much, much better way to pray. There's much, much better way. And whenever I started to understand, whenever I got that word from God where he said, folks, Andrew, stop saying prayers, but start to pray. My life started to change. There was a different dynamic to my walk with God than I had ever experienced before. So what was the difference? What was the difference? Because it wasn't the length of time. It wasn't the words that I was saying. What was it that changed for me? Well, it was this. I believe God spoke to me through some teaching and through some friends about what is the actual purpose of prayer. Whenever we come to God, is it about begging God? Is it about putting us right with God? No. We've talked about that for 3 weeks. That's not the point. The primary purpose of prayer is simply about connecting with God. Now, you're going to say, too good. Give me some cool stuff. But prayer is this. It's about a time spent where you love on God. Really, really simple. It's about a time where you come to God and you tell him and you just experience the love and the goodness of God and you commune with God on that level. It's not about asking. It's not about begging. It's not about casting this out or doing the other thing. I'm going to explain what I meant for how that worked for me. It's about loving God. The primary purpose of prayer is to bring you to a place where you are in that place where you receive and you give love with God. And you're thinking, too good, why? Look, there needs to be more to it than that. Actually, there's not. I mean, is the point not that we have to come to God and we have to keep on asking and we have to keep on pleading with him? Well, no, it's not. Let's look at some verses. If you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, see, many people come and they say, listen, here's the point. You have to keep on asking. You have to keep coming to God saying, God, will you do something? Will you move? And prayer is essentially about a time spent where we're trying to get God to act. And there's bits of the Bible like this that are used to back it up. Luke chapter 11, this is Jesus. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I will have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, don't trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs, as many as he has need. Okay, so how many people have heard this to say, well, whenever you come to God, what do you need to do? The first time that you're going to ask him, he's probably going to say no. But what he's actually wanting to see is that you keep bombarding him. You keep coming back to him. And the key thing here is about your persistence. If you keep going, that's what it's going to have God move on your behalf. That's what we've been taught those verses actually mean. They mean no such thing. What Jesus is actually doing here is he's saying, listen, you would expect to be treated better by a friend, wouldn't you? If you came to a friend in the night, you would expect to be treated in a way which is, you know, reasonable. You might ask, you might say no, but if you keep going, even a friend is going to see you right. But what Jesus is saying is, why do you approach God like that? He wasn't saying, ergo sum, therefore, that's the way you approach God. He was making a massive contrast. He was saying, if this is the way a friend would treat you, and you would expect a friend to treat you that way, when you read on further down, he's saying, how much more will God look after you? God is not like a friend who turns his ear away. He's already provided everything for you need. So rather than saying, do you know what, folks, this is what God's like, Jesus is drawing a massive comparison. It's the complete opposite to what we've been told. He's not saying, keep knocking on at God. He's saying, God's so much better than that. That's the way a friend, so-called, would get on. You have to keep going to a friend. It's not like that with God. It's not like he said, everybody who asks, when you read on down, will receive. Everyone who asks will receive. And if we as parents on this earth know how to give good gifts, how much more does your Father in heaven know how to look after you? So it's not about persistence and keep on going. It's about, listen, your Father in heaven is so much better than that. So you don't need to keep banging down his door to get him to provide something that he said he's already done for you. That's not the point. But we've been told, keep on asking, keep on persevering. And there's a place that I'll talk about in the next 2 weeks about that. But the point that Jesus is making is, the big point is, this is a massive contrast to your Father. This is what it's like on the world. But whenever you approach your Father, understand this, that he is so much better than that. Let's have a look at Luke chapter 18. This is the other one, where it says, Luke chapter 18. Liam? Okay, Luke chapter 18, the persistent widow. Okay. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to illustrate their need for constant prayer and to show them that they must never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, he was a godless man with great contempt for everyone. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly appealing for justice against someone who had harmed her. The judge ignored her for a while, but eventually she wore him out. I fear neither God nor man, he said to himself, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this evil judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think that God will surely give justice to his chosen people who plead with him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But then I, the Son of Man, when I return, will I find faith in the earth? Here's another verse in the Bible where we're told, actually, the way to pray is to keep banging on to God. It's exactly the same as Luke chapter 11. What Jesus is saying is, let me draw a contrast between what a judge would do. Now, people say, well, that's a picture of God. Is God unjust? Is God wicked? Why would Jesus make a comparison? You see, but we've been told, no, if you keep going to God, if you keep banging on, then surely he's going to move. And Jesus is saying, no, if that's what an unjust judge is like, somebody who's carnal and somebody who is not God, how much more is your Father going to answer you quickly? How much more is he going to do it? We need to get a right perspective on these verses, because if we take those verses to mean, listen, it's just about keep on going and keep on asking him, you'll wait for your breakthrough and somehow God's going to tip in your favor if you will just do it. We have moved from the faith and the grace of God into what we can do, and we can do nothing other than receive grace in this Christian walk. That's the way it works. Let me release you from feeling the need to continually bang on to God. God is way more just than the people that Jesus used in these parables. And he's trying to get us to see, look, if that's the way people act, if that's the way people get on, don't contrast these people with what God's like, because he's totally different. He's quick to answer. He's already provided for what you need. You don't need to keep on asking him to look after you. He's already said that it is done and it's perfect. So now what we need to do is stand and say, God, I'm not going to move you to provide something that you've already done, so I'm just going to receive it by grace. It's your grace and your love for me, and I'm going to receive it. And that is the primary point of why we pray. Our perspective needs to change. And if we're not careful, we're going to miss this very simple point this morning. The whole point of prayer, the whole point of a time when you connect with God, is not to bombard heaven. It's not just to keep on asking God to move. It's none of that. It's to love him. And I'll tell you this. Whenever you start and you start to approach prayer as a time where you love God, it's a time where you talk to God, you tell him how good he is, you say thank you for what he's done, you say thank you for who he is, and you start to say thank you for that perfect work, and you learn about that and you let the Holy Spirit show you, then things start to change in your life. Things will start to go better for you than you will ever have imagined by begging and pleading with God. Whenever we get to this place in our life, when the primary purpose of why we pray is to connect with God and to love God and to understand who he is, I'll tell you, in my life, things started to change. Things I had prayed for 10 years and not seen a breakthrough, one bit of them. Whenever I started to understand how much God loved me, whenever I started to understand how much grace he had poured into my life, whenever I started to understand what he had done on the inside of me in terms of changing me, whenever I started to understand in a small way the authority that he had put inside of me, my life, my circumstances started to change. A little bit, sort of, not really on purpose. My perspective changed, you see. Instead of me coming and taking time to plead with God. I started to love on God and say, God, you are so good to me. I started to read his word and say, do you know, there's no shortcuts, folks. If you're not reading the word of God, how do you expect to know what God is like? How do you expect to know what his promise and his truth is to you? You read the word, let the Holy Spirit guide you in truth. And as I started to do that, and I started to take time to go, do you know what? I'm not going to ask God for anything today, but I'm just going to take 15, 20, whatever it was, and I'm just going to start to love him. Incredible changes started to happen in my life. You see, it's a wee bit like marriage. All the men will know what I'm talking about here. Do you know that whole quality time thing? You know, do you know what I mean? Anyone read the Love Languages book if you're married? Yeah, okay. Read it. It's really helpful. Done by faint praise right there. But it's a wee bit like marriage. Penny and I can, for the first 5 years of marriage when Penny and I used to argue about this whole quality time thing, I just didn't get it as a man. You see, I thought that as long as I was in the house, that was us spending time together. Do you know what I mean? So I could sit in front of the TV with my laptop, kind of, and Penny would be going, well, talk to me. And I'd go, what about, do you know, please don't ask me to talk to you because then I'm under pressure and there's nothing to talk about. And so I would go, and then by the end of the night, Penny would be upset. And I'd be going, what is your problem? I have been here all night. Look, I'm here. We have spent time together. And she would say, no, we haven't. I'm going, what? What do you mean we haven't spent time together? Of course we have. Yeah, I've been here. Okay, I might have been on my laptop and not talked to you all night, but is this not quality time? You see, and sometimes that's what it's like with God. You know, we can think, actually, the quality time with God is not asking, petitioning all the time. That is a part of prayer, and we're going to come to it. It's not begging God. The quality time is actually spent whenever you connect and you love God. That's the whole point of prayer. And this is why it's so important. Richard J. Foster, okay, who's a great writer, he says prayer changes things. That's what people say. But it also changes us. The latter goal is the more imperative. The primary purpose of prayer is to bring us into such a life of communion with the Father that by the power of the Spirit, we're increasingly conformed to the image of his Son. That means how we work out what Jesus has done. I believe we're already changed on the inside. But there is something about whenever we spend time with God, the whole point is this. Let me encourage you this week. Whenever you sit down to spend time with Jesus, I'm going to ask you, don't ask or don't beg. Don't say, God, all this stuff's going on. And that, because that's the way we normally will approach prayer. But let me ask you to do this. This week, just take a minute and start to say, thank you, Jesus, that you love me. We sang a great song. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you for your promise to me. And just spend, if you will spend 15 minutes doing that, I guarantee you that things will start to change. And the biggest change will be in you. This is what happened to me. Because whenever you make the main thing, there's a different dynamic in your life. Some of us are around the church. We talk about God. We talk about the kingdom of God. But essentially, we need to connect with God to become realigned with who he is and what his promise is. And that's the whole point of prayer. The whole point of prayer is this. When we love God, when we thank him, when we tell him how unbelievable he is, when we start and we meditate on his promises, so you read the word of God and you just go, God, this is incredible. Thank you that you love me, that you supply for me, that you have given me a hope and a future, and you start to thank God and you let the Holy Spirit, there's something really cool happens. For me, prayer means reading my Bible. It means worshiping God. It means talking to God. And when I connect with Jesus through his Holy Spirit and I thank him for truth, I don't ask him for anything. I just say, thank you. I tell you, my life is different. And do you know how it changes? Do you know why this is so very simple and we want it to be more different? We want to have seven steps to the Shekinah glory and all this kind of stuff. I should write a book called that. But what happens in that moment when you connect with your Father is your perspective changes. A bit like me and the rat. I needed a perspective change on a rat. But we need a perspective change for life. And that happens whenever we pray. And that's what Jesus talked about. The primary purpose whenever you pray is to love God. And what happens as a result of that is you start to see things differently, you start to feel differently, and you start to move from fear about your circumstances and what's going on in life into rest and peace. Whenever you start to have communion and love on Jesus, your perspective will change. you will know that we're expecting a baby in October. And that was an interesting journey for us, you know. And there was a time whenever we begged God, and God, will you please give us a kid? And, you know, we had people cast out the spirit of infertility, which was an interesting one. They didn't lay hands on me, thank goodness, because that could have been awkward. wouldn't that have been a great one? Were you sick? Well, actually, I'm infertile. Just joking, that's my bad kind of... I actually might do that. We could have looked at the medical routes, we could have looked at the doctors, but we had a moment in our lives, and this is what happened, okay, where we started just to stop doing all of that. Now, that was something that we had in our hearts. We wanted family, and how was this going to work? And this was the first time around when we had Ben. But actually what God spoke to us was, you know what, this is what my word says about family and about what a blessing kids are. This is my whole... And we started to dwell on that. We started to think about how good God was, that he wanted us to have a full life, that our promise, according to Scripture, was that we would live to see our children's children. Well, how's that going to happen if we don't have kids, God? But we started to think upon that. And instead of going, God, will you please? We started to say, God, thank you that you have made it all things possible. Thank you that our kids are already there with you. Now, hear what I'm saying. And thank you, Lord, that we're going to see our kids in this physical world. And we're going to enjoy them. And they're going to be our inheritance and their children's children. And Penny and I started to have a time of, like, for months, actually, of just connecting with God. We just read about God's character, his plan for family. And do you know what happened? My perspective changed. My perspective changed. What happened was, whenever I had this mountain in my life, which was massive and it was our desire for children, what actually happened was, as I started to commune with God and I started to love God and I started to realize again how much my God was for me, how much Jesus had done for me, all of a sudden my God became so much bigger. And my sense of perspective on my situation, it was like God standing over it all. And what seemed such a big deal started to shrink, actually, because I understood how much God loved me. And I didn't have to beg him anymore. And I moved on the inside from a place of fear, and I moved from a place of crying and pain and hurt to going, God, I'm in rest, and I'm going to receive by faith what you have done. And that came through praying, not begging, but loving God and understanding who he was and how much he had for me. And I want to tell you, whatever you're facing this week, maybe it's your money stuff. Are you in fear over your money? Do you find it hard to give? Are you just plain selfish? Oh, definitely not me, Pastor. Some people are. But here's the thing. Any one of those things is rooted in fear. Whenever you can't put your hand in your pocket and give back to God what's actually his, the root of that is fear. Now, how's that going to change? Pray about it. Don't say, oh, God, take away my fear. Pray and just start to dwell, because this is the purpose of connecting with God. You start to realign with who God is, what his truth is, what he says about your money, what he says about the provision that he's made for you, what he says about your future, about the fact that you'll never live in lack because he has already supplied everything according to his glorious riches. All the word as it comes to you, and you start to move from fear to faith. And that's the purpose of prayer. If you don't do that during the week, don't turn around and go, God, will you move if you're not putting yourself in the place to connect with Jesus, understand how much he loves you, and understand what he says over your life? Because that's what happens with prayer, and that's why we get so messed up with the whole thing. It's like, I'm not going to spend time to align myself. I'm not going to spend time to love on God and tell him how much he means to me, to experience the Holy Spirit washing over me with grace and truth and mercy and all of that stuff. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to beg God, and I'm just going to come to God. That's why it doesn't work. There's a better way, and it starts whenever we go, God, I love you. I really love you. And that's the purpose of prayer. To connect with God and just to have a time where he loves on you. I want to encourage you, do that this week. You will find that your view will change. And not just your view will change. What I started to understand was this. A lot of my life was actually me chasing God. Deuteronomy 28 verse 2 is a really interesting verse. It says, all of these blessings shall come upon you and will overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. I remember God speaking that verse to me and saying, Andrew, do you know what? You're chasing the blessing. You're chasing all the good stuff. You're chasing me to move. Actually, whenever you're in with communion with me, you're in relationship with me, the blessing actually overtakes you. But a lot of what you're doing is chasing the blessing. Is that what you're doing? Are you chasing God and saying, God, will you, will you, will you? Because there's a place in our Christian walk whenever we're in communion with God, whenever we're loving God, that actually blessing starts to overtake us. overtake you. It's like you don't need to do anything. Already it says if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. This is written to people. I want to tell you that all the obeying was done by Jesus. So we stand today in the goodness in the new covenant with the work of Jesus perfectly and complete. And because he has done that, we can live with blessing overtaking us. But many Christians are just chasing it the other way around. Take time to pray and get aligned with the truth of who Jesus is. Take time to lift your eyes up to see Jesus, because as you look at Jesus, you will be changed. There's no shortcut. There is no shortcut. Please, you know, there are many books out there, and some of them are fantastic, and some of them are total nonsense. You will not twist God's arm for anything. He's already provided all that you need in his grace. It is grace that moves God and love that moves God, not what we can try to badger out of him. But what we need to do is get aligned with that again. And so if your prayer life is this, it's like, you know what? I need to ask. And if it's about stuff that God's already said, I want to encourage you, you're out of alignment. You're out of kilter. And if you will take the time, and it's your responsibility, I can't do this for you, but if you will take the time to put some time aside where it's not like me and Penny on the laptops, but there's times where we actually have quality time to connect, I guarantee you, your perspective changes, your heart changes, and actually things around you will change. You will move from being in fear to actually having a confident expectation. That's what the Bible describes hope as. To seeing the goodness of God in your life. There's things now in my life that I never ask God for. I don't ever ask him for money. Okay, I left a really good job in a bank, for those of you who don't know that, where I earned really good money. And then we had a period of time where I earned no money. And I definitely went through 6 months of going, oh God, you know, and oh, sweet mercy, what have I done? And then God spoke to me, brought me back to the same place as I communed with God and I loved on God and I understood this. If I'll just take the time to meditate on God's goodness and love him and be thankful, have a good heart. Do you know what? I've never had to ask God for money. And we are more than supplied for. More than supplied for. Do you know why? Because I just have a confident expectation that Jesus has supplied all of my needs through his grace. So what I do is I position myself and I align myself to live in that truth. And so I have a confident expectation that this month and the next month that my back is covered. Now, if you're in fear, please don't say, God, give me, give me, give me. Say, God, thank you that you've provided, and come into that place where your prayer is aligning yourself with Jesus. Align yourself with his character, who he is, his truth. And I'll tell you this, things will just start to change. And you'll think, well, that's not really true. Well, it is true. Have a look at my life. That's the way it's happened for me. But what we want is we want the 5-step plan, don't we? It's like, God, I'm not really good. That doesn't really work for me. Give me the 5 steps to heaven and I'll do the 5 steps and let's see the result. Let me put the money in, pull the lever and get the result. Let's not do that. Take time to connect with God, because that's what prayer is about. Before you ask, before you beg, before you intercede on, all of that has a place. But the primary purpose is this, is to connect you back with Jesus. And whenever you do that, things change. That's the whole point. That's what Matthew 6:33 means. Seek first God's kingdom and everything else will come after you. We go for the everything else, don't we? And we pray and say, God, we want everything else. And Jesus says, seek first his kingdom. What he was talking about was this. Seek first me. Put me first. Love on me. Connect with me. Let me do that. And you'll find that things will overtake you. Deuteronomy 28 verse 2. You won't have to chase anything. Whenever you use prayer to connect and to align, you'll move away from fear. And that's the whole point. We've taught in this church many times that the whole point of eternal life, the whole point of Jesus coming, wasn't just to deal with sin. Oh, sounds a bit controversial. Well, John 3:16 said that the whole point of eternal life was, and John 17:3 was to know God, was to experience God, and sin had to be dealt with to get us into that place. So Jesus came, dealt with sin, but that was not the end game. The point then was, you will now connect and live a life with me. And that is the whole point of prayer. That's its purpose. Now, I want to encourage you next week. We're going to be talking about some things like, what about intercession? What about petitioning? Because it says, John 15, you don't have because you don't ask. And, you know, and it says in all the way through the New Testament, you know, present your request to God. But what does that actually mean? How do we do that? And we're going to look at that over these next few weeks. But before we get to that, the danger is if we start to do that, what we do is we drop into formula. And we go, well, I have to do thanksgiving, and then I present my request, and it's all again coming back to us. Do you see the whole point of prayer? Is Jesus saying, lift your eyes up above you and start to look at Jesus. The word of God says, as you look at Jesus, you behold him, you're changed. Okay, and I want to encourage you this week that before we start to look at what does petition mean? How do we pray for the sick? What about all this kind of stuff that's going on in my life? Can I not even talk to God like that? Of course you can. You can spend as much time as you want in prayer. But one thing I'm going to encourage you, if you want to see a result from the time that you spend, do it the right way. And that starts with take time before anything else to commune, to connect, to love on God. And I promise you, it's a money-back guarantee. Okay? It's worked in my life that you will change, your perspective will change, and your circumstances will change. But let's make the main thing, and connect with Jesus. Amen? Why don't we stand? My throat's just about to give up. Kerry Lee? I don't know. Just close your eyes for a wee moment. I just believe the Holy Spirit is here, and I do know that God is, through his Holy Spirit, speaking to people right now. And there's maybe things going off on the inside of you going, but God, there's this going on this week, but God, what about my job and big issues? What about my health? What about this family thing? What about my... And God's saying, listen, let's this week... Let the main thing be the main thing. I believe that God wants to move people in this room from a place of fear and a place of, oh God, will you please move on my behalf, to a place of understanding that Jesus' work is perfect and it's complete. Everything that you have need of, he has already supplied for you. Whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, material, whatever it happens to be, there is supply in richness and abundance for you today. And what God is saying to you today is this: will you just take some time with me so that we can connect and can love on one another, and you'll see who I am and what I have for you? Will you do that before you do anything else? It's a bit like when my son comes to me. I love it. Whenever Ben comes to me, the first thing he says is daddy. And then there's about 50 million requests. But I love the way he starts with daddy. And I believe that God sent to you today's, do you know what? You can start by saying, Daddy, Father, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you love me. And I believe God's saying, if we'll take the time to connect and to align with Jesus, with his truth as revealed in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will light that up. And blessing will start to overtake you as you behold your Jesus and see him above everything else. But we need to take the time to do it.
Great things have yet to come, and great